Oh boy. So I've always been a big fan of horror movies. You guys know that at this point. And with horror movies, it's natural that you kind of find yourself in the realm of like disturbing or gross out movies. So naturally, whenever I was looking for icebergs to do for a video, I was looking for disturbing movies. And everyone I found had like The Conjuring midway down, and then I'd seen every movie on it. So I wasn't really interested until I found this. User NiceGuyPhil on Reddit has made this horrible creation. I thought before getting into this, I knew what like disturbing and gross out movies were because I'd seen stuff like Salo or a Serbian film and stuff like that. To put that into perspective, those are on tier 3 of 8. I didn't even know it could get this bad with a lot of these. And with no exaggeration, I have legitimately lost sleep over this research. I'm not saying that to make myself sound all cool and like, oh, look what I do for YouTube. I'm saying that to say like, if you're sensitive about certain stuff, do not watch this video. I'm gonna try to like be very careful with my wording and just sort of imply some things rather than say them, as you know, being monetized is nice. Again, I won't be showing a lot of images. If this is your first time watching, then I'm sorry about that, but I can't show a lot of these images. I'm normally a bit better with like the editing and illustrations, but I've gotta be really careful with a lot of this topic, especially as we get near the bottom of the list. There's gonna be like happy music and haha, I'm gonna make jokes throughout or try to keep it lighthearted. But in all seriousness, if you are disturbed by heavy content, viewer discretion advised. Also, with a lot of the research for this iceberg, especially the later entries, it's either illegal or I just really don't want to find the original subject matter. But thankfully, there were a ton of people on YouTube who were a huge help to me, and a bunch of them were smaller creators. So at the end, I'm going to give them specific thanks, but for now, I'll let you know that in the description are going to be the links to several smaller channels that helped me out in making this video. And if there's anything more specific you want to see about some of these topics, I'm sure that they've got a video on it. So I highly encourage you to check them out, as I literally couldn't do this without them. Also, you may notice that this is the first video I'm not wearing a dad shirt, and that is because I am wearing the first official Wendigoon merchandise. Link to it will be in the description. I'm still setting up some stuff on the website, so bear with me if it looks kind of ugly right now. If you're a patron, then stick around to the end to figure out if you're already receiving the shirt or not, or follow the timestamp in the description below, which leads me to say there will be timestamps for every tier, so if the topic of one tier seems a bit much, you can just skip to the next one. We have got a whole lot to cover, so we're gonna go ahead and get into it. But as always, and I sincerely mean it, thank you for watching. The first tier of the blue skies is just normie horror movies. And since this is about like disturbing films and we've got a lot to cover, I'm just going to go ahead and throw all these together. Friday the 13th, Child's Play, Scream, Insidious, Conjuring, Annabelle, The Grudge, The Ring, A Nightmare on Elm Street. While good movies are not in the qualifications for this, which makes sense. They're not even in the water of the iceberg yet, but I'm just going to go ahead and skip past those because I have nothing interesting to say. And we're just going to keep rolling on. Tier 2 is where we start with the grindhouse films. First up is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This movie was directed by an at the time unknown Toby Hooper. The movie's rather iconic now as it brought us characters such as Leatherface, as well as an entire series with prequels and sequels. Although the original one still remains in most people's eyes to be the best, as it's the most visceral with its depiction of how these humans are treated. For those that don't know the plot, essentially a group of teenagers get lost while on a trip in Texas and are attacked by a hillbilly murder family. The main idea behind the film is that it's a critique of the meat industry, with the humans in the movie being treated the way that animals are treated within slaughterhouses and meat production facilities. I couldn't find the exact length, but I swear I remember Wes Craven talking and saying that watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre made him a vegetarian. So I guess Toby Hooper did his job in that regard. Saw is another minimalist horror movie that spawned a series of sequels afterwards. While they got more outlandish with each entry, the core idea of the film is that people are put through these games in which they have to injure themselves in some way in order to survive whatever predicament they're in. This is all done by a serial killer or serial killer known as Jigsaw in order to teach people what it means to live or to appreciate the life that they have. The original was directed by James Wan, who later went on to do The Conjuring and several other high budget horror movies. But me personally always liked him for what he was, a sort of the guerrilla filmmaker that created such a small contained movie that got the viewer thinking so much. Several people have described it as a thinking man's horror movie, and while I wouldn't really call this like the definitive horror film, I think it's a classic that shouldn't be overlooked. Hostel was a slasher fic that many would say was riding off the coattails of Saw, made by director Eli Roth. Now, you may remember Eli Roth as the Bear Jew from Quentin Tarantino's film Inglourious Basterds. Eli Roth actually appeared in an earlier Tarantino film, that being Death Proof, and the two of them became very close friends, which is what eventually got Eli Roth the role of the Bear Jew. In fact, they became so close with each other that when Eli Roth made his first horror introduction with the film Hostel, Tarantino allowed him to put his name at the beginning, so in the opening of Hostel it says a Quentin Tarantino production. Hostel is a very well-made horror movie, and a lot of people kind of have this idea that Saw was the definitive torture porn entry. We're gonna get into the real torture porn later, but we'll save it for now. However, Hostel is much more brutal in its depiction of violence than the original Saw ever thought about being, sequels not included. Tusk is a now rather well-known cult classic by director Kevin Smith. This was part of Kevin Smith's horror movie trilogy, in which he did this, Red State, and the one about like talking sausages in a store, not Sausage Party, but same idea, live action. It's body horror, but with a twist. Whereas traditional body horror is ideas of people getting mutilated or cut up, this film was more so about the actual changes or metamorphosis of the human body. Basically, plot of the movie, a man kidnaps a young journalist and then puts his body through a surgery that converts him into a living seal abomination thing. A lot of people find this really disturbing. I think it's funny, but I enjoyed the movie either way, so whatever. Human Centipede is, in my opinion, one of the most misunderstood movies ever. From director Tom Six, the movie actually comes, or the idea of it, from a conversation he had in which people were trying to figure out what the appropriate punishment for child predators might be. While a lot of people just kind of view the movie now as like exploitive and awful and vile and whatever, the original I do feel like had a purpose. At least when I watched it, I picked up on a lot of Nazi symbolism with the way that the evil doctor acts and the experiments themselves. They're very similar to that of Joseph Mengele and the Angel of Death experiments, and I viewed it as kind of a modern interpretation of what evils like that might exist. Now, it spawned a very meta trilogy in which they reference back to the original movie, especially 3, which was just weird. But the original Human Centipede will probably forever be a cult classic. Midsommar is one of my personal favorite horror movies to come out in the past decade. By filmmaker Ari Aster, who is also known for Hereditary and his short film Something About the Johnsons, which discretion advised when searching that. Midsommar has got to be the only movie I think I've ever seen that truly made me sympathize with a cult. And what's funny is because of the way Ari Aster tells his stories, you don't really realize that's the point it's getting to till the end. This feeling of sympathy is pervasive throughout as you follow the main character played expertly by Florence Pugh, as her tragedy and strife throughout the story kind of becomes yours. There's this thing Ari Aster said a while back that his first film, Hereditary, was sort of a movie about families and togetherness, and off of that he said that Midsommar was his breakup film. And then thinking about the emotions you feel throughout and how you kind of go through the 5 stages of grief with the characters, yeah, it really does feel like a breakup movie. If not in a literal way, then in a very deep-rooted emotional way. I highly recommend Midsommar to anyone who hasn't seen it. Now, there's 2 more movies on this tier, which I promised to a certain somebody that if they ever came up on a video, they could talk about it because they are 2 of her favorite movies. So here she is, your favorite idiot, to tell you about House of 1,000 Corpses and The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay, so 2 movies on my top 10 list of favorite movies, because I love horror. Horror is my favorite genre, are The Hills Have Eyes and House of 1,000 Corpses. The Hills Have Eyes is a Wes Craven movie. It came out in the 70s, and it follows a family, like a normal everyday family. They're on vacation somewhere out west because it's a lot of like open stretches of road and deserts. And they're in a van, and their van breaks down. So they're basically attacked by this hillbilly family, and they slowly are picking off each member of the like normal family. And then eventually, after part of their family has been picked off, the remaining members of this like normal family start to fight back. And I think the reason it's considered a disturbing movie is just because of all the killing that happens, and there's like the R word, and you know, the people, all these actors have some kind of physical deformity, so you can call it disturbing like that, but it doesn't really get to me in that way. I just like it because it's an old campy 70s movie. But at the end, the family does start to fight back, and you can see, like, the nuclear family becoming savages, like the savages who were affected by nuclear waste. Ooh. Okay, so continuing on the same list of my favorite horror movies, favorite movies at all, this next movie is probably like my top five just overall in general movie, and it is The House of 1000 Corpses by Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie is unironically my favorite director just because I think he encompasses everything about horror that I love, like the campiness of the 80s, the practical effects, the really hilarious characters that he writes that there in no way could ever possibly be a real, like no real person would ever act like that, like no real person could possibly be like that deranged. So the entire movie feels like you're at a haunted house because, I mean, literally it opens up, they're at Captain Spaulding's haunted house, and that definitely adds to the whole disturbing feel of the movie, and that's how a lot of Rob Zombie movies are. That's definitely how the two sequels to House of 1000 Corpses work. I guess if you're scared of people getting murdered or like torture movies, it's disturbing, but I mean, like, aren't all good horror movies disturbing in some way? But yeah.
We are now on to tier three, which is your sort of hardcore exploitation films. Also, I want to say to the side, Nice Guy Phil absolutely knocked it out of the park with this iceberg. This is the only iceberg I've ever seen that every single tier has a specific meaning to it. Like tier two we just did was grindhouse films, this one's exploitation films, and each tier is a specific genre or type of disturbing movie. I just wanted to mention that because I thought it was really cool and it made getting into this a whole lot cooler, or dreadful, because we'll get to it later. This tier is probably where most of the disturbing movies you've heard of on YouTube come from, but like I said, it's just 3 of 8, so yay. Solo, or 120 Days of Sodom, is based on the true story of what happened at the end of World War II in fascist Italy. Also, I should mention, this is the point where I'm going to quit recommending movies, because if you're the type of person to watch one of these movies, you either already know about it or I'm not going to be the one to tell you. The plot revolves around a group of essentially rich elites who realize that they're probably going to be killed by the time the war is over, so they decide to just let their cares go to the wind and spend the last days of the war in complete sin and evilness. They do this by bringing 18 teens, 9 boys and 9 girls, to essentially a castle and then being horrible. While a lot of people just kind of view this movie as standard gore porn, evil, exploitative stuff, which, trust me, I get it, this does feel purposeful, at least especially compared to the stuff later in the list, as the purpose of it is to show the true effects of men, and specifically these real things that happen that a lot of people have just forgotten about. The film is structured as the four parts of Dante's Divine Comedy, and we see the slow dip from depravity into evil as it passes throughout the movie and mirrors that of ancient literature. That didn't stop, however, the movie from being banned in most countries, as well as several arrests made to producers and editors, and 3 weeks before the film came out, the director was murdered. So yeah, people didn't take too kindly to it. Martyrs is a tale of two women who are held in captivity for the majority of their younger life and later come to get revenge on those who wronged them. The movie is often hailed as being so disturbing by specifically the end scene, which involves someone having skin and then not having skin. Although there are scenes throughout of general violence and torture scenes. While a lot of people view this as your standard like gore exploitive stuff, I absolutely love Martyrs. It feels very reminiscent of the internet horror story that was floating around a few years back called Gateway to the Mind, but it's a very excellently done tale of redemption in my opinion, and it sort of weaves a mystery throughout of what's going on that by the end of the movie it ties a nice bow on it, and you're able to recognize everything that's just happened and some of the actions that take place before make sense. If you're okay with a lot of violence and viscera, I would recommend Martyrs to anyone who likes horror. Pink Flamingos is a movie from John Waters, the guy that did the original Hairspray. Yes, I'm not kidding. Released in 1972, it is a story of a family who claim to be the filthiest family alive, and yeah, they're probably in the running for it. There's a lot of like weird Kith-related stuff throughout the film that is gross. Like any other John Waters movie, there's this overarching idea of being true to oneself, even if it's not the best option in this case. There are several references to things like human trafficking and cannibalism and like a chicken. The film's probably most famous for a scene in which a drag queen eats dog poop. And no, that's not a joke, that actually happens on camera. But if me saying that just now like turned you off to this video, turn back now. Shouju Sabuki, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, is a banned Japanese anime. The basic plot is that a young girl finds her mother dead, and this scene itself is very brutal. Like, she pulls off the covers and there's rats crawling inside of her and stuff like that, to which she's then picked up by a traveling circus. And then from there, it just gets into a lot of shock factor stuff, like the girl being abused and the circus freaks abusing each other. And like, there's a scene with puppies that doesn't need to be there, but it is because it's shocking and yada, yada, yada. Some of you may know this film because it was trending on TikTok a while back. Like, people were pointing at it as a sort of shock site type thing. But in my opinion, it's kind of just shocking for the sake of being shocking. While there is sort of this overarching plot of like, sticking true to yourself in the face of evil, it doesn't justify the things that are shown on screen. A Serbian film is one that you're probably familiar with if you know the disturbing movie trend. This movie is about a man who is a Kith star who is contracted by the Shady Men to be in very special films. From there, the movie just kind of keeps up the idea of making it worse and worse, from the other actresses who are in these films to the things that he has to do in them, leading all the way up to a climax that's really gross and just gross for the sake of being gross, where to me the film just feels kind of try hard and there's this thinly veiled plot over it just to connect one extreme scene to the next, which is actually what the director would agree with, because he said that the purpose of this film was a way to attack the fascist censoring that was occurring in Serbia at the time, hence titling it a Serbian film. Which, if the entire point of this movie was just made to make people upset and throw a middle finger at the censor bar, good job, I guess, but that doesn't necessarily make it a good film. Human Centipede 2 was what I was talking about with the original Human Centipede, and that the sequels just kept amping up the factor. The plot itself is very meta too. A person who's working in a parking garage sees the original Human Centipede movie and gets inspired to do that to people that he kidnaps. While the film like tries some artistic things, like the whole thing shot in black and white, it's kind of a facade for a lot of the more extreme stuff the film puts forward. Like, for example, there's several scenes of like self-mutilation, and he's trying to build a longer human centipede, and it gets grosser and more intense. And I do think that this was just a way to capitalize off the first movie, as all of those effects I was talking about in the first of being purposeful and meaningful with this presentation feel totally lost here in favor for just basic gore porn. Cannibal Holocaust is believed and stated by many to be the original found footage movie. This mockumentary was set up as if a film crew traveled to the rainforest, or Green Inferno as they call it, and made contact with a local tribe of savage natives. Supposedly, the savages wiped out the original film crew, which warrants a essentially military group to go in and find the original supplies and wipe out the locals. However, what's interesting is they find from the cameras of the original film crew that went in that they had initiated the violence by burning down villages in order to get good shots and attacking and abusing the local women in order to make them more upset. And in my opinion, it's a really good movie in that regard, as it raises the question of who is the real monsters. However, that doesn't justify everything that was done in order to make that movie. For example, there are several real animal deaths that occur on screen, such as a turtle, a boar, a tarantula, and I believe a snake. Also, keep in mind, this was before any found footage movie was a thing. So when it came out, a lot of people thought it was real. So real, in fact, that the director was arrested and had to have the actors who died in the film come forward in order to prove that they were still alive. While I personally like it, I understand it's a very intense film that is not for everyone, but if you want to see the original found footage horror movie, this would be the one to check out. The House That Jack Built is a Lars von Trier movie about a serial killer named Jack. The core plot of the movie is divided into five sections, with five separate incidents in which Jack is carrying out his serial killer rampage. With each one of these, Jack keeps getting better at the killings and more precise in how he handles it. As far as disturbing scenes go, most people point to the third killing of the movie, in which he equates humans to deers and then goes hunting. However, The House That Jack Built is, in my opinion, a very well done film, and the symbolism of the house itself and the eventual lead into the plot of Dante's Inferno, I feel, is very well done. And while disturbing, I also wouldn't call it the most disturbing of Lars von Trier's films. In my personal opinion, I would have replaced this on the list with something like Antichrist, or maybe Nymphomania, as I feel those two films are more intense in the disturbing respect, but I'll allow it. Suicide Club is a Japanese film about a situation in which several teenagers are attempting to commit suicide. The plot mostly follows that there is this pop band that is subliminally convincing people to kill themselves. So therefore, groups of teenagers that listen to them commit suicide en masse, such as jumping in front of trains or off buildings. And it's pretty over the top with the gore, however the effects are rather dated and kind of silly by today's standards. Aside from one violent scene involving a cat, it's basically your standard fare, oh no, world's ending happening type thing. Tetsuo the Iron Man is a body horror film from Japan, and in my opinion, one of the best I've ever seen. See, body horror now is just kind of recognized as like, let's see how much we can injure someone, and that's where body horror comes from. But for me, it's always been more what still defines a human as a human. I talked about it kind of in my Lighthouse video when I mentioned The Thing, but in movies like The Fly with Jeff Goldblum, whenever you see him as this amalgamation of body parts and you're trying to figure out if that's still a human or not, to me, that's what body horror should be more of. There's this really niche subgenre of body horror films known as melt movies. Melt movies are exactly that. People in the film are melted down, and the horror of it comes from, when does that person stop being a person? You can kind of think of this as like The Blob remake and stuff like that, where the horror comes from the impossibility of the human form being broken down to such lengths. Tetsuo the Iron Man feels like a metal melt movie. The basic plot is this metal fetishist has a sort of disease in which random pieces of iron and metal are overtaking his body. And after a man hits him with his car, he begins to slowly infect the man with that same disease. Stop motion is used in order to do these amazing special effects for the time, in which these impossible shapes are coming out of this guy, and he's becoming more iron than human. And it's very well done, and I highly recommend you watch it. So everything that I mentioned in the past years has been movies that I've known about beforehand, and it's been like, yay, cool horror. This is where that stops. Tier 4 is mostly mock snuff, yeah. For those that don't know, a snuff film is a movie that exhibits either real-world murder or violent kith acts of some kind. So this entire tier is movies that are trying to be that, but aren't. Probably. We are now dipping from movies that I have seen to things I've never heard of before making this. And I want to emphasize how thankful I am to the people in the description who had reviews and breakdowns of these films so that I didn't have to suffer myself. But just reading the descriptions and seeing screenshots from a lot of these movies was enough to do me in. I'm not gonna get into a lot of the details, as I can't, but again, if you're interested, check out descriptions below, and I'm gonna do my best to not hurt you. Slaughtered Vomit Dolls is the first in the Vomit Gore trilogy by Lucifer Valentine. Yep, there are three of these movies, and they're each just the worst. I am disgusted by vomit, personally. That and snot are things that I just don't want to interact with or look at. And this entire trilogy is just for people with a vomit fetish. And also gore. It's just like intense mutilation, like people having pieces removed and taken off, and then other people throw up on it, and then that just keeps repeating itself. I have seen breakdowns of this movie, specifically John Joe Lyon's reviews talked about like the symbolism in it and how the entire trilogy is supposed to be a girl's walk through hell. And I'm not by any means saying people shouldn't be allowed to make this kind of thing just because it's not for me, but when I say it's not for me, I mean this is really not for me. There was one funny scene described in which a woman loses her arm and then someone else is trying to play the guitar with it, so that's fun, I guess. I'm just gonna go ahead and get this trilogy over with because the other two movies are also on this tier, and I really don't want to talk about it anymore. The second movie in the trilogy, Regurgitated Sacrifice, is the same thing with people vomiting and blood and all that. There's a scene with an octopus where someone gets boop. And then an octopus gets put. I really don't want to describe this for YouTube, but you just bear with me. There's another scene where a tarantula goes in a place it shouldn't be. Yeah. And then finally, the third movie in the trilogy is known as Slow Torture Puke Chamber, which is somehow the most tame of all of the titles. This one's the same as the last two, only there's also, like, other bodily excrements, so diversity, I guess. And while, yeah, people say there's, like, artistic purpose to this, like, I'm sorry, I don't really see it. If you enjoy it, then good on you. I don't, and I feel a lot of it is very exploitive and really, really try hard. I mean, no disrespect to Lucifer Valentine either. I never thought I'd say that phrase. But to me, an outsider looking in, the premise of the movie feels very much so like what would happen if you gave a bunch of 14-year-old kids a budget and the 14-year-old kids wore Thrasher t-shirts and like those big DC skate shoes and were told to be as gross as they could. However, I will recommend that a couple of creeps on YouTube, which again, description below, did a very funny and cute coverage of the series. So check that out if you're interested. But now I don't have to talk about it anymore, and it's your guys' problem now, so yay. Also, when it comes to, like, the P word, I've said it in phrases earlier, like, gore porn and, like, torture porn and stuff like that. I feel like YouTube doesn't like it if I say just the word on its own, so I'm gonna continue to just call that kithing. So, just to let you know. So this movie, Life and Death of a Kith Gang, is about a director who does kith movies, who is approached and offered the prospect of doing snuff films. Also, his group of people decide the best way to do these kind of films is on a traveling circuit where they do it on stage. And basically, from everything I've read, because remember, I'm researching at this point rather than watching for the sake of my soul, the film becomes about the balance of morality or soul versus worth. So, like, what are you willing to do in order to make money, and how far is too far? However, everything I've read also just looks kind of exploitive. Like, there's a scene involving a horse and a lot of blood and stuff like that. But at least this one's kind of different in that it's kind of meta. Rather than just being about, like, mock snuff, it's about a crew of people having to do snuff. So, cool, I guess. Snuff 102 is an Argentinian film about a reporter who goes to try to figure out if snuff films are being performed in the local area and then is dragged into one. Also, I should mention with a lot of these movies that are not English, there exists no English dub or sub for the movie, since for some reason there doesn't seem to be a big demand for that kind of thing. And also, there's not like a ton of demand to have the movie translated or described, so most people just watch this with having no idea what's going on. Not that it matters. I did see something online that the narrator compares snuff films to kith films, since they both profit off of, like, the human body being defaced in some way. So for that, the movie could kind of be viewed as an anti-pornography film. And everything I read says this movie features a lot of human and animal death. So, cool. Also, I feel like adding the ography to the end makes it better. This isn't getting monetized, who cares? August Underground is touted by a lot of people to be the most disturbing film ever made, and also a real snuff movie, even though it's not. I also want to mention one of the best YouTube channels I've ever seen, not that he needs my shout out, is Spooky Rice, as he prevented me from having to find these things on my own. So thanks, Spooky. If you like this kind of disturbing movie trend, you probably already know about him or need to check him out. The main plot is that these two friends have people trapped in their basement that they're torturing and abusing. The movie, however, keeps cutting between these scenes and normal everyday scenes to imply that what we're watching is raw footage from their video camera. Again, more to hammer in the idea that we're watching an actual snuff film. There's a lot of mutilation and people getting hurt and gross and more gross, and yeah. This movie's also infamous because people have called the police several times believing it to be real, but like, it's got a sequel with the same people, so like, probably not. Viva la Muerta is a Spanish movie that is set just after the Spanish Civil War. In it, we follow a young boy whose mother turned in his father to the police, and it's about the boy trying to figure out what his emotions about the world and his family and what he wants is. However, because of this and the fact we're essentially watching the inside of a mind of a young boy trying to figure out the world around him, there's a lot of weird, like, Kith related stuff that happens, as well as other scenes involving sharp objects. The most noteworthy moment of the whole film is, if you remember the Tauntaun scene from Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, where Han cuts open the Tauntaun and pushes Luke inside of it. So imagine that, only they really did it with a bull. So yeah, that's cool. Guinea Pig is technically two movies, the first of which being Devil's Experiment. This movie's a pretty big deal, as it's widely regarded as a real torture movie. This Japanese film is literally just an entire movie-length recording of a woman being not treated nicely. In the movie, everything happens from her, from being burned to sound torture and other just like kicked and mean stuff. What I can say about it is absolutely none of it involved Kith stuff. So that's really cool. Good job, I guess. And then at the end of the movie, she dies, so cool. The sequel, known as Flower of Flesh and Blood, is famous because Charlie Sheen, after watching it, called the FBI. This one is the exact same as the first movie, only it was a bit more bloody, and it was about a crazy samurai serial killer who's, like, cutting someone up, but the effects are, like, laughably bad. Oh, I forgot. There is a third movie in this series called He Never Dies, which is about a man who tries to kill himself and realizes he can't die. So he starts doing stuff like taking all of his organs out or whatever. And the movie ends with him just being a head sitting on a table and going, you know what? I don't think I want to die anymore. This one's just like a comedy, which is so weird coming off of the first two. But yeah, like I said, no kithing. So we've made progress that far. Now we're going to look at the complete opposite of no kithing, with a whole lot of kithing, in Necromantic. This is about a couple who has an obsession with collecting body parts, which eventually culminates in them getting an entire decomposing person. There's then things performed with said person, as well as other weird stuff in the movie, like bathing in blood, and they show a real rabbit dying, so that's gross, I guess. A whole lot of philia involving things of the necro sort, so yeah, real gross. Don't watch it unless you want to. I mean, I'm not your dad. You can watch whatever you want, unless you want me to be your dad, in which case, hi son, how are you today? How was school? You talk to that girl you like? Come on, let's go play catch out in the yard. I'm gonna keep this up because it means I don't have to talk about the next movies on the list. So how you doing, sport champ? Bucko. Yeah, like, we're not even halfway done yet, and it's to the point that, like, reading these next entries in my notebook here, I'm just like, oh, I have to talk about that one, don't I? And then I get done with it and I go to the next one, I'm like, oh, I have to talk about that one, don't I? Melancholie der Engel, which I took German class, yeah, that's how it's pronounced, which translates to The Melancholy of Angels, is about two friends who are nearing the end of their life and decide to just find an old cabin and kidnap people and be gross about it. There's a lot of stuff here to do with, like, human fluids and other gross things. What is funny, reading about it, is that there is scenes of animal death throughout the movie, and specifically there are scenes involving pigs and one scene involving a cat. So whenever this movie got denied distribution in, I believe it was the US, US or the UK, they argued that the scene involving the cat was faked, even though they had told people that it wasn't. So then whenever they were asked about the other animals, the filmmakers were like, no, those were real, but the cat wasn't. Like, why was that the one you felt the need to clarify on? Which I guess leads me to believe it was faked, because they didn't deny the other ones, but still, like, what? Where the Dead Go to Die is an animated anthology that looks like the cutscene from an early 2000s video game. After doing research into it, it's because the film's creator pretty much did every single process of the animation cycle, which is a big deal and should be commended, until you realize, like, what the content of the film is. Basically, the plot is it's a three-part anthology film, with the connecting through line being this demonic Labrador that's telling people to do evil demon stuff. It's really gross, because there's, like, things involving animals, and, like, things involving a pregnant woman and other like really gross over the top stuff, but it all looks like that really awful Ratatouille spinoff Ratatoing. So why it's really evil and you don't want to think about it, there's this part in your brain that's like, haha, character move funny. It really does look like an old Silent Hill video game. And I mean that in the worst way. Juvenile Crime, also known as Schoolgirl in Cement, is about the real-world story of Junko Furuta. Probably pronouncing that wrong. One day while on the way home from school, Junko was kidnapped by four local high school boys who were in the Yakuza. They then kidnapped her, locked her in their parents' basement, and did completely unspeakable things to her over the course of 44 days. While not to go into too much detail, when she was eventually found, she had been hurt to the point that her brain had decreased in size from lack of nutrition and injury. Other details of the story become increasingly frustrating. Like, only 4 days into the torture cycle, the police actually visited the house and didn't look any further into the house, which may have saved Junko's life. Junko was actually found through an accidental confession in which the boys were being interrogated over a different missing girl. They thought they were referring to Junko, and one of the boys gave away where they put the body, not even knowing that Junko had been missing. Or not knowing that she was still missing for this time. Because of the boys' age involved, they were giving very light sentences. As a matter of fact, they're all out now, although three of the four have already been back to jail for some form of violent crime, which, yeah, imagine that. The judge said during the court proceedings that what had been done to her was so horrible that surely her soul is still wandering the earth, cursed and afraid. During the readings of what happened to her, people in the courtroom began to faint, and Junko's mother was put into a intensive care psychiatric facility. Also, reading this got really sad in some cases, especially near the end. It did get to me a bit whenever her classmates essentially read their eulogies at her graveside, and just realizing that this amount of evil happened to someone who was 16 years old, it does hit home pretty hard. One of the more bright things to come out of it is her future employer, or who would have been her future employer, officially gave her the job and then brought the parents the uniform she was going to wear, and the school gave her a diploma to the parents, so to say that she graduated and things like that. That was really depressing. I need to pick it back up. Let's go back to the dad thing. You want to go fishing, boy? All right, I'm better now. So there are three movies about this event involving Junko, the most popular of which being a film known as Cement, which from my understanding is like more respectful to the character. This movie, Juvenile Crime, is not that at all. It's just a long movie that shows in excessive detail what happened to her, and there's not really a point gleaned for it, or it's not done in any way to like bring sympathy to her. From all the reviews I read, it's just an exploitive movie of a real-world tragedy that happened to this young girl. Philosophy of a Knife is a film about Unit 731, which is a real-world unit that operated under Imperial Japan during World War II. While many are familiar with the atrocities committed by Germany during World War II, not many are that familiar with Japan's. Unit 731 specialized as a bioweapons facility, in which they were testing the effects of certain biological factors and diseases on people. The way they did this was by kidnapping large groups of people or telling them they were going to work for, say, a lumber company or something related, and they were then used as human experiments. Most of them were used to test things such as the bubonic plague, which was actually then later tested on random cities and villages in China in order to see the effectiveness of it. One of these strains was so effective that it was attached to an airplane, which was then going to be used to attack San Francisco, according to records. However, 5 weeks before then, the war ended. The movie Philosophy of a Knife shows what some of these experiments were in gruesome detail. Some of these include killing people using a decompression chamber to test the body's resilience to pressure. Others are freezing limbs of people until they become completely hard all the way through, and then pouring boiling water on them to see the effects, as well as supposed real footage of the aftermath of some of these experiments, as well as the mass graves that were created. Also, I should mention that in the real world, several members of Unit 731 were granted amnesty by the United States in order to become part of the American Biological Weapons Program, much like how the Germans were with Operation Paperclip, so that's cool. We are now halfway done with the iceberg, so pat yourself on the back and get ready because it just gets worse. So now in tier 5, since every tier is its own category, tier 5 would be that of, like, depravity and extremism. Like, if you take all the branches from where horror originated and see French extremism as the root of American grindhouse and stuff like that, this would be what would happen if French extremism just kept going. So while a lot of these are films with a plot, they mostly just exist to be as brutal as possible. Starting with our first one, Girl Hell 1999. This one's really weird plot-wise. It's about a couple of guys who, like, attack women a lot. And then there's weird elements in it, like family kithing, as well as, like, this weird subplot with a homeless woman who seems to be nice, and then the girl who is being attacked kills her for some reason. Honestly, compared to some of the stuff in tier 4, it's not that bad, but it is probably the peak of, like, Japan weirdness, at least so far for the list. Ostermontag is where it gets. Hoo boy. So in researching this one, like, people were talking about clips and scenes from, like, this isn't that bad, but then everyone kept referencing the end scene. Everyone's like, oh yeah, that end scene, that did it for me, that's one of the worst things I ever, blah blah blah. And I couldn't find any info for what it was, except for one message board, and I wish I hadn't. Basically, it's just further women violence in various ways, with things like needles and eyes, which is always fun, as well as with the others, fluids, and yeah, gross. Ostermontag is German for Easter Monday, which I'm sure means something in the film. Again, a lot of these don't have English translations in any regard, so you just kind of got to guess. But I will say the ending was probably the grossest thing I've ever seen done with a knife, so I guess that stands for something. The next title, Women's Flesh, My Red Guts, is from Japan, as you can imagine. The plot of this one, as Spooky Rice covered, seems to be mostly about a woman who her man left her, and to cope with it, she just starts mutilating herself in creative ways. Now, what's interesting about this kind of movie, I believe Barak was the production company that made it, is at the end of the films, they'll show trailers to other Barak films, which gives us our first preview of something we're going to see a lot of in the later tiers, as they gave the trailer to something called Rare a Dead Person, which is random clips of a dead person or peoples. There's going to be more depravity like that later on, but right now we're still in the movies. Tumbling Doll of Flesh is similar to Guinea Pig, which I mentioned in the last tier, although this one involves more kithing. The basic plot of it is a girl is hired to be in an adult film, and then they keep ramping up and getting her to do stuff she doesn't want to do until it gets to the point that no one would want to do, and she's killed and the guy she's with is killed, and it's a big blood fest. The more creative part from this movie was a scene in which the tongue was being cut with various cutting objects. I think a lot of people view this one so hard because the way it's shot implies that it was a real event, but it wasn't. There were actors and it was a director who made it. And like, a lot of the effects kind of give it away because they do look really dumb, but I guess just the idea of it is enough to make people think, oh, this is some crime that we've got to do something about, when no, it's just weird stuff. Mei-chan's Daily Life is based off of a manga by the same name. Basically, the plot of it is a girl discovers that she has regeneration abilities, so she can lose a limb and then regenerate it. So a rich client decides to start renting her out to other rich people so that they can do depraved things to her, and she'll miraculously recover from it. Now, people have said that they like the manga, as it's some kind of, like, artistic look at horror and violence. However, whenever you take that from a manga to a live-action version, it's just kith stuff. And all the reviewers said that a specific gruesome scene involving the eye and stuff like that is what elevates it to the level that it's held at, and that the effects are very well done. So, I mean, well done. The Taming of Rebecca is a kith film from the 1970s. At one point, it was ruled by a government board that's apparently job was to review adult films for some reason, as being one of the world's most depraved examples of the adult film industry. The plot's just gross. It's your standard gross adult film plot. There are a few things that make it stand apart from your standard adult film, like mutilation or whatever. The most interesting part of the whole thing is that the director of the film was later arrested for shooting a man in an ice cream parlor, supposedly trying to rob an ice cream parlor. So yeah, good for him, I guess. He didn't kill the guy, and then after he got out of jail, he went to college and became like a software engineer, which, okay. The Necrophiles is a film about a zombie that is brought alive by a satanic cult that goes around murdering and kiffing women. The entire thing is on YouTube for one, and looks like it was filmed on an iPhone, but I've got to say, it's the funniest thing on this entire list. Like, at one part in the film, they tried to conjure a demon, so they just tie a baby doll to a string and then fly it around the room chasing people, and the acting is hilarious, and it's all hilarious. I think that the creator of this iceberg legitimately put this on here just to make me feel better. Like, if anyone is this far down and getting depressed and, like, destroyed by everything that they're reading, this is an alleviation from it. Here, I'll play this clip. So, thank you, Nice Guy Phil, for making me feel the littlest bit more okay with this. The one thing I would say that's, like, gory, quote-unquote, about it is the blood effects do look pretty good. If I had to guess, they use, like, real animal stuff from a slaughterhouse to do it. So, I mean, it looks pretty good, but the plot's so absurd and stuff around it's so absurd and yeah. Eccentric Psycho Cinema is a 7-movie collection that is based around the concepts of girls being kidnapped and then bad things happening. There was a lot of like review boards that I pulled for these videos because again, I don't want to watch them where I can't watch them. And one of which called this the worst film series of all time. And I don't think that was in a quality way. I think it was in a psycho cinema way. It's your standard like torture flick where it's just like an hour of gross stuff. The grossest part is at the end, the killer always collects souvenirs from his victims and they're always gross. So that's cool. A lot of these plots, like once I'm this far down, they just kind of feel similar, like this, a guinea pig and stuff like that. It's just like, aha, how gross can we be to this woman for an hour and a half? And that's the whole plot. Gateway Meat is the final part of Ron DiCaro's The Bright Side trilogy. I looked into a lot of the Ron DiCaro stuff, and in this realm of extreme violent movies, he's kind of held as sort of like a good director, or at least that's what the reviews I read would say. All of his stuff is very intense with its depictions and the subject matter. The plot of this one is that there is a family of Satan worshippers who the father figure passes away, and it's now up to the son to open up a gateway to hell, which naturally is done by being as violent and as horrid and evil as you could possibly imagine. So the standard evil things that you could picture would happen in order to open up a gateway to hell happen. The one, I guess, controversial element to it is that his 6 or 7-year-old daughter appears in the film. However, the way they do it is shot to imply that she's there, although she's actually not, such as a still frame of her saying something and then cutting back to the scene involved. So even though it's edited to look like she's there, she's not actually on the set with all of these gross things. However, a lot of people understandably consider the very inclusion of it in any regard to be too much. I also have to mention, for some reason, I don't know if it's a political jab or what, there's random shots of George Bush throughout the entire movie. Like, as they're murdering people, the camera will pan and there will just be like a picture of George Bush on the mantle. So yeah. When it comes to a lot of these, especially when I'm like this far down researching, I find myself asking weird questions about it. Because on the one hand, I don't want anything to be censored. I don't want to get to a point where we can't talk about certain elements. But at the same time, I don't want them proliferated to a degree that this is what we think like art needs to be, or what we think shocking needs to be. Because it's always a weird balance to strike, and especially when you get into more political ideas of if people are voting or going towards things that have dangerous effects, shouldn't we show those dangerous effects to the people? But at the same time, you don't want your entire society to be based on ideas of violence and evil. So there's got to be a middle ground somewhere, and honestly, I don't know the answer. It's just a question that I find myself asking as I get into this. Like, not necessarily where should the line be drawn, as in what should or shouldn't be allowed, because that's kind of a loaded question, but more so what is the preferred line to be drawn, or what should we encourage or discourage in a society? I don't know, just food for thought. Tier 6 is entirely shockumentaries, or as they're also known, Mondo films. And what better way to describe what a Mondo film is than with the 1962 Italian documentary, Mondo Cane. Mondo Cane translates to A Dog's World, and it seems that the purpose of this film was to kind of push people into realms that they're not comfortable or familiar with. So in 1962, it was pretty rare for people to see anything outside of their bubble or outside of what their broadcast stations tell them. And the point of the documentary was to take that a step forward. So for example, they show things like open graves that exist in Mexico, radiation damage done to the Bikini Atoll in the South Pacific and how that affects the wildlife there. And a lot of it is purposefully juxtaposed with how Western societies do something versus how other societies do it. Like for example, it shows a dog park in San Francisco in which people are very cute and close with their pets, and then it cuts to a scene in New Guinea in which dogs are raised and killed for food. The idea is kind of to like disillusion people with their way of living, and in that respect, I guess it works. There's some really weird details too. For example, it keeps going back to New Guinea since, according to the film, that's where the least developed group of people were at the time. And the narrator says plenty of things that you couldn't get away with saying today, like savages and whatnot. There are some interesting takes from New Guinea, like for example, it shows a woman who is supposed to be a bride for a coming man, so they just lock her in a box and feed her tapioca till she loses weight. But Mondo Cane did really well, and it inspired several creators to come forward later and start the same idea of showing documentaries that are about extreme things that most people do not think about, which is where the word Mondo Films comes from. Cannibal Holocaust, which I mentioned earlier, is sort of a play on the Mondo film idea. One of the most famous Mondo films of all time is known as Faces of Death. While Mondo Cane may have been the original, a lot of people call this the classic shockumentary. The preface for the documentary is that there is a doctor who studies death. Specifically, he studies how different cultures handle death and how death occurs. He shows it in a lot of regards, such as animals in illegal dogfighting rings and slaughterhouses in which animals are brought into the meat industry. The movie progressively gets more intense with it though. For example, we then see public assassinations, which are rather well known, along with other things like executions. It then gets into like animal attacks and keeps ramping up until we're at the point where we're just seeing police footage of people murdered on the street. Oddly enough, for such a low dollar documentary, especially coming out in the 1970s, this film grossed $35 million at the box office. Now the big deal with Faces of Death is about half of it was real, as half of it was not. See, we're at the point now where we're not really talking about fake movies or setups anymore. We're into the real stuff. Faces of Death inspired a movie that came shortly after, known as Traces of Death. Traces of Death is a 5-part series that is exclusively videos of people dying. This includes everything from public suicides, such as jumping off buildings, to terrorist attack aftermath. It then shows things like autopsies, and the whole thing has a sort of true crime feel to it, as if we're watching someone come up on these scenes from just randomly on the street. When I talked about Rare, a Dead Person at the end of Woman's Flesh, My Red Guts earlier, this is the kind of stuff that was in Rare and the kind of stuff you see throughout this tier. By the end of the movie, it gets pretty intense with images and videos of war deaths as well as tribal deaths, showing everything from cannibals to other ritualistic killings. But hey, the movie had metal bands make it an original soundtrack, so that's cool. Junk Films is the same kind of idea. Specifically, the guy who directed it is from Japan, and he travels the world just recording and photographing different images of death. Junk Films has no through line. Sometimes there's explanation given through subtitles that are put on screen, but other than that, it's just a random assortment of these clips put together. It's done in such a way as to portray death as a very objective thing and not put any meaning or reason behind it. Everything in here is shown from car crash victims to wartime tragedy, and even things like in India where they have open air cremations. It's just different looks at death from around the globe. Africa Adido, or as it's known in English, Africa Blood and Guts, is a British propaganda film that was made in 1966. See, this was right after Britain extracted itself from the African colonies, so for the first time in a long time, Africa had independence. The purpose of this film was to show the uprisings and wars that occurred in the area in a very brutal and intense way, as to say that Africa is not ready for Britain to let go of it. I should also mention that Britain hired the same crew who did Mondo Kane to do this film, knowing that they wanted it to be as brutal and realistic as possible. The film takes place over the course of 3 years and shows things like the Congo Civil War, as well as mass executions that occurred from one group of people to the other. And while it is interesting because some of these events, like the slaughtering of thousands of people, the camera crew does state that what you are witnessing is the only record that will ever exist of this event, which is humbling. However, as Roger Ebert says, this entire movie is a propaganda flick that does not give context to the events that are shown. For example, you can watch two people fight it out with each other and say, oh, it's because I didn't step in and get involved, but you don't know any of the conflict that's going on or the reason for the fight in itself. It's especially funny that Britain denies that it owned the African colonies, when they literally made a propaganda flick to encourage them to continue to own the colonies. But to this day, it exists as a very odd and weird piece of history. Similarly, Buried in the Sand is a pro-American flick of the war in Iraq. Buried in the Sand, or its full title, Buried in the Sand, The Deception in America, shows all of the stereotypical things you would expect out of an anti-Middle East pro-American flick, like beheadings, suicide bombings, and all that. It draws several parallelisms between the Middle East and Nazism, such as catching these out-of-context scenes of kids raising their hand up and saying that's an Aryan salute, which doesn't make any sense. And then showing kids in school and saying, see, look, they're being indoctrinated. And again, no context is given. It's another odd example of a very one-sided documentary, and sort of serves as the antithesis to what Mondo Kane and junk films were. Whereas they portrayed death and evil in a very objective, top-down way, both this as well as African Adio are very trying to get across the point that this one view is the reason this is happening and we've got to do something about it. Orsko the Embalmer is made by the same guy that did the junk films video. So again, we have a very objective bipartisan view of death and destruction. Orsko the Embalmer follows an embalmer in Borgata, Colombia, by the name of Orsko. This region of Colombia is particularly known for the violence and death rate that it has, so much so that several scenes in the movie in which they find the body are very telling of the area around it. For example, at one point a woman was found dead at a playground and the kids were just playing around her, not giving any mind to her lying there because they're so used to seeing death. I should also mention an embalming in the late 80s, early 90s Colombia is nothing like a Western embalming or an embalming you may be thinking of, because the whole process is he cuts them open, pulls out all of their organs, stuffs them with anything from hay to newspaper, and stitches them back up. The movie's very surreal since it's just a bunch of videos of that, them finding a body, bringing it in, stuffing it full of stuff, and sending it back out. And while it may seem throughout the movie that the embalmer's very cold or making jokes about the bodies and stuff like that, at the death rate that this area experienced at the time, and given his job, he kind of has to be. Death File Red is another one of those Mondo-style series in which the whole point is to show the brutal side of the world. While there is your standard death fare in this one, what makes it different than the others is the living examples they have of sickness in the world. Like, sure, there's clips of self-immolation and whatnot, but what sets this one apart from the rest is the disabilities that are shown. For example, people with birth defects and children in very sad circumstances that kind of serve to just point a finger at it. Now, with junk films and Mondo Kane, this is once again a very objective look at it. Like, they're not trying to get a point across, they're just showing what's being seen. And the film doesn't do any more to hammer in a point rather than showing these illnesses and effects that are happening to people in less developed regions. And it's not like this is where you should donate or help money. It's again just showing what's happening. Banned from Television touts itself as exactly what the title proclaims, that these were clips that were supposed to be used for television sets that are not allowed for obvious reasons. There is a narrator giving context, but this is another one of the collective tape versions, similar as many describe to a true TV set. So the idea behind it is, say that you have an episode of Cops and midway through there's a car wreck and someone brutally gets killed. If they got footage of that body, then according to this, it would wind up on Banned from Television. And that's what the entire three film series is. Just collections of things that were supposedly meant for TV, and then something happened and they can't be used. Black Metal Veins follows five heroin junkies on their journey of heroin. This documentary was directed by Lucifer Valentine, the same guy who did the Vomit Gore trilogy, also known as my favorite director. I know Lucifer's active on YouTube. Again, didn't think I'd say that line. So if you're watching this, or if you ever do watch this, I don't hate you. I just want to talk. This, like many Mondo films, is a very objective look at what's going on, as Lucifer agreed, as director Lucifer Valentine agreed to simply record them as they go through this experience and not interact in any way. Or by interact, I mean call the police or something. Near the beginning, one of the five dies in a drug deal gone wrong. And then later in the movie, one of them overdoses and dies on camera. And there's, as agreed, no attempt to call the police or stop it. Other things are viewed, such as one of the junkies gets into prostitution in order to pay for the heroin, to which the camera just records it. While this can be viewed as sort of a telling of don't do drugs, kids, and just a very hard, brutal look at where drugs can lead you, specifically heroin, given Lucifer Valentine's other work, I'm gonna guess that this is just a coincidental benefit, and that the main purpose of this, just like the other shocking movies, is to be exploitive and just point a finger at something and go, ain't that weird. The Dark Side of Kith is another documentary that was produced by the British government. This one was specifically produced by Lion Television for Channel 4 and had Christopher Eccleston narrating. Yeah, the Ninth Doctor from Doctor Who. The purpose of this was to be an anti-Kith propaganda flick that featured the dark side of the industry, from things such as STDs being prolific, as well as women and both men being forced to work. It got into the hard part of it too, which included drugs and murder and animals. One entire episode of this series was dedicated to Animal Farm, which is something that will be brought up in Tier 8. Archivos de Muerte, or as it translates to Archives of Death, was really hard to find any information on because, you know, there's nothing really that exists for it in English. From everything that I've heard, it's kind of like your standard shockumentary. It also includes a lot of surgery stuff, such as prenatal care and like cosmetic surgeries gone wrong. But from what most people who have seen it say, it's more so exploitive than something like junk films, as it's trying to get a message across. So yeah, that's it for Tier 6. So while Tier 6 was like Mondo shockumentary films, Tier 7 is exclusively that. These descriptions are going to be very short, as I both don't want to go into it and can't go into it. UNKB002. I'm gonna say two words, and if you know what they are, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't look it up. And those words are coprophagia and urophagia. Yeah, I should also mention that most of these are Japanese. Guso Milk 1-4 is the exact same thing as what I just said. I should mention that this one has kind of had a challenge associated with it, similar to the Two Girls, One Cup video that went around, in which people get their friends to watch it to gross them out. I will mention this is like the pinnacle of grossness. Channel 309 is a Kith film that particularly focuses on the very hardcore aspects of it, such as disabilities and demonic elements, like characters dressing in goat head outfits in order to conjure the devil. The entire thing is edited to look like Nightmare Fuel, like with heavy metallic and industrial noises and quick glitched editing and stuff like that. I should also mention that there was one website that was very like satanic and evil in its imagery that mentioned in the description for this video, because again, pretty much all these you have to actually order on DVD, that this was one of the most disturbed and messed up on its entire site. So take that as you will. So I think this one's on the wrong tier. Death to Kafar roughly translates to death to the infidel or death to the non-believer. And from what information I could find, it seems to be a propaganda flick from the Middle East against outsiders. So it's clips of like people being beheaded and murdered and executed and things like that. I think this belonged on tier 6 because it feels like a Mondo film and there's no reference to Kith that I can find. So that's just my theory. But imagine this as the opposite of the buried in the sand one I mentioned in the Mondo one, as it's told from the opposite point of view. Squirmfest is the stuff I mentioned a minute ago, only this one has bugs too, like maggots and worms. So that's cool. I'm not even going to say the title of this one. It's just that. It's literally a combination of those things, and it's horrible, and I don't want to live on this planet anymore. In my notes for this one, it's literally just a sad face, because that's how it makes me feel. Puso Limitless is another Japanese flick that is all the things that I've mentioned before. Moving on. The Motel Files and Other Random Cuts is made by the same people that made the Channel 309, and it's the exact same thing. It's cuts of violence and grossness, with the catch being it's set in a hotel, and it's the exact same editing style and everything I mentioned for Channel 309. So the KT trilogy is hard to find any information on. There were different things that said it was KT trilogy, but didn't really make sense. I did find one blog post where someone mentioned this one, and it's just like the same grossness as Squirmfest and all those, so yeah. Saudi Scream is Imagine Guinea Pig, and I keep referencing that one because it's the standard for like just a video about a woman being tortured. So Imagine Guinea Pig, but with kiffing. And then there's sequels to it, and apparently the sequels are like weird parodies of the Saw movies, where there's these traps, only in this one they don't die if they lose. You get it. Jinky Jinky, 18, 19, 21. So one of the sources I was using for all of these, because they actually talk about them, is horrornet.news, in which they have reviewers who watch this absolutely depraved stuff and describe what's in it. And I should mention that someone who has seen pretty much everything I've mentioned beforehand said this was the one that broke them. So, cool. If you are familiar with my Core Iceberg series, when I talked about the Sabichi Tomatovic tape, or the spider-related one, I said that after she got out of that whole scandal, that she got popular in Jinky Jinky. So this is the type of place that welcomes that sort of behavior. It's specifically weird stuff involving weird things. Specifically, and without going into any detail because I don't want to, 18 involves fish, 19 involves worms, and 21 involves frogs. Do with that information whatever you will. No Vaseline, the Great Swindle, is the same people who did Channel 309 and the Motel Files. And it's the same. People said this one had machinery noise in the background to be more creepy and like industrial noises. It's got the same demonic overtones. And everything I found is just like, it's so try hard. It's like, if you had, so earlier I mentioned like a group of like 14-year-olds, this is like if you had a group of like 17-year-old edgy kids who like set the neighbor's trash on fire, and you tell them to make a real gross, messed up film, this is like what they would do. Because it's just like a regular film, and then they wear a creepy mask, and then they edit it to be real scary. So, yeah. They also have elements of like blood and violence and all that, and I get this is something you wouldn't want to watch, but just because you don't want to watch it doesn't mean it's like effective horror, but whatever. I'm finally done with tier 7. I hated that. That's the worst one. And now we're into tier 8, which is exclusively snuff films. And yes, I'm more thankful to talk about this than I was the last one, because you haven't seen the things that I have to do this video for you. So all of these are snuff films on tier 8, except for one. Now, this one should probably have been in tier 7, similar to how the Death to Kafar one probably should have been in tier 6. But I'm glad that this one was in tier 8 instead, because it's so special to me. There's the word, my attempted pronunciation of Emoções Sexuais de Cavalo. I don't speak Portuguese, I'm sorry. So I originally saw this and had no idea what it was, and then a good friend came along and helped. If you remember my Core Iceberg series, I talked about a guy who helped me figure out what some of the core definitions mean. That friend of mine, who I've met through Reddit and YouTube, John Callahan 98, which if you see him in the comments or on Reddit, please thank him for this, is from Brazil and therefore can speak the language. So I send this to him, and I'm like, hey, man, do you have any idea what this can mean? No sources for it are in English. And he was like, dude, are you sure you want to know? So thanks to him, he informed me that this is an old film that was made sometime between the 60s and 80s that is a Kith film involving a horse, right? Okay, so that's standard degeneracy, like whatever. But what's special is why it was made. The plot's weird too. It's like this dude has AIDS and then he's chasing people around, and I guess it's to be like anti-AIDS in the 60s, I don't know. But the reason it was created is because at the time, the Brazilian government was under a dictatorship that censored all information. So their strategy was that rather than letting people make their own films, they're just going to make them for everyone, that way it's state-oriented. Twitch. They saw that there was a market for this kind of film. So the Brazilian government produced, funded, and made a film with a horse. Which means it is state-sanctioned. It's so bizarre. Like, why would a government make that? And it's a really weird example of, like, gotta give the people what they want. But, like, do you really? And what's wild is that's not the only one. There are others involving different species, and it's so weird and so odd. Brazil never stopped being Brazil. Snuff R73 is really weird, as pretty much no one talks about it. So every forum that I came across to find information on stuff for tier 8 was pretty open with talking about the other ones, like, oh yeah, this happens and this does. But as soon as someone would mention R73, everyone would shut up. There were people in the comments of the original question like, you can't talk about that. Do not talk about that on the ClearNet. Only talk about it on a Tor browser, etc. A bunch of people compared what was in it to Most Disturbed Person on Planet Earth, which we'll get to in a second. But supposedly this one contains high production stuff made for it. In other words, people with money producing it. And by a lot of people who do sort of mention on the ClearNet, they implied this may be the worst snuff film out there. No, I did not get on a Tor browser to find this stuff. I would like to keep my existence, thank you. Speaking of, Most Disturbed Person on Planet Earth 1-3, also known as MD Pope online, is what we're going to see several of, called mixtape films. Mixtape films are exactly that. There's no narrative to it. It is just jumbled together clips, or essentially a compilation video of these things. A lot of the stuff on this tier, if you're familiar with like Live Leaks, I guess wouldn't be that odd or strange to you, but if you're not, it really is some of the worst stuff you can come across. MD Pope is basically just a compilation of stuff that you could find on shock sites. This includes stuff like the Mr. Hands video, animal abuse, the Mexican chainsaw video, and stuff like that. Also, you apparently can't find a copy of this on the ClearNet or anything that isn't the darknet. However, one of the guys that I've mentioned in the description, Brutality Will Rule 666, gave an in-depth description of all of the clips that are seen in this film. So if you really want to know, check out his channel. But I'm not really going to talk about it here because, like, again, if you know Live Leaks, you should get the point. FUBAR is another one of these mixtape films. Another one of the guys that I was watching to keep up with this stuff, unboxed, watched, and reviewed. This made him throw up, which is saying a lot considering he covers all the stuff I've talked about previously. This one has execution shots and crime scene videos. And where this is different from like the Shockumentary and Mondo stuff I talked about previously is a lot of this is like in person modern day. So it's a lot more intensive and gross with it. There's also clips of surgeries and stuff like that. And the thing I mentioned earlier, Animal Farm. Animal Farm may be the most widely banned film of all time. There were copies that made its way into the UK in the early 90s, to which the UK police had these massive, like, breakdowns and invasions to try to rid every copy of the movie in existence. The content of the film is Animal Farm, and supposedly they had destroyed every copy of it in existence until FUBAR came out. In it, there are clips from the original Animal Farm, meaning that someone kept that quiet in enough time for this to come out, redistributed it under this hidden title, and then put it back out there. So this is a once thought destroyed film now put into production as something else. Also, I should mention, like, all of these are highly illegal, because there's a difference, like, in legality between, like, having something that someone dies in and then having something that the express purpose is, like, unseen crime, basically. Most of these will catch you either a cheese pizza charge all the way to withholding evidence. So I highly stress, do not research, do not look up on your own, please. The one thing about this one that's really weird is in between the brutal, awful clips, there will be Happy Tree Friends episodes, which, all right, cool. I know I keep saying cool, but like that's my just default reaction to this filth. The Ogrish collection is from an older website known as Ogrish, which is essentially a mixtape or greatest hits of the stuff from their website. Ogrish rebranded in 2006 to Live Leak, so same thing. What's really weird about this one is that there was an Indiegogo campaign for it, which didn't have any contributors, obviously. There's just an FBI agent watching the Indiegogo page like, oh, I see that your mom 666 donated to the Ogrish collection. Interesting. That gore volume 1 and 2. Only evidence I could find that this thing exists was from a French website, and I don't speak French. Supposedly this one is just several clips of body harm throughout and heavy metal played over it. And by body harm, I mean like stuff that could kill you, body harm. There's also several like different videos that apparently claim to be it, but the original one supposedly contains cheese pizza, so gross. I can't say these names. I don't want to say these names. This is awful. You can go back and look at the tier when I screenshot it earlier, but I'm not doing this one. It's a mixtape like all the others, just horrible, gross, disgusting things. It's again only distributed on the dark web, as with these others, and it's Live Leak and gross and evil and awful and yeah. Finally, this one, Registros Fatas 3. Sure. Once again, John Callahan 98 helped me with this one because all the results were in Portuguese. Not that I'm complaining. This one's also a mixtape of crimes against people and murder and all that fun stuff. The difference in this one, I guess, from other ones is there's several factory and industrial accidents included that you would see on Live Leak, so I guess that's variety. And it, like all these others, is just further examples of depravity on film set to music in a illegal film collection. So yeah, and we are done. That's it. That's the entire disturbing movie iceberg. I'm going to go clear my browser, drink coffee, and cry. I do want to say though, when you get hyper focused on this stuff, it's really hard to recognize how put away and shamed it is by the rest of society, because whenever you're looking at it, you're just saying, oh, this is how the world is, this is how evil is, and it can really get you down. But I want to emphasize that you got to go looking for it, and anything that you go looking for, you're going to find. As depressed and awful as you want to view the world, is as awful as you're going to find it. And to get to it, you've got to ignore all the beauty that's around you in forms of art, forms of expression, forms of people. And yeah, while it's interesting to kind of poke your head into the rabbit hole and see how awful it gets, you gotta remember to take your head out every now and then. So while it's fun to look at it, and while I enjoyed bringing this topic to you, because I think that there's always going to be this thing in people that kind of want to see how bad the world can get, I also want to emphasize that it's really not that bad. Because yeah, the world can be a pretty messed up place, but it can be a pretty cool place too. Part of that positivity is you all watching this video for me, a small time creator who is now having more subscribers and views than I've ever thought I could have or know what to do with. And I sincerely want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for watching. I mentioned at the beginning, but I want to give specific shout outs to some of the people who made this possible. If you enjoyed this video, I highly encourage you to go to one of their latest videos and just say thank you, because I sincerely mean it. Without them, this would not be possible. So thank you, John Joe Lyons Reviews. Thank you, Couple of Creeps. Thank you, La La Lottie. Thank you, Unboxed, Watched, and Reviewed. Thank you, Brutality Will Rule 666. Thank you, Spooky Rice. Thank you, Cinema's Underbelly. And thank you, Matt's Movie Mania. Also, like, there's not a YouTube channel for it, but thank you, HorrorNet.com, for reviewing and watching all these so I didn't have to. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart, guys. Thank you for watching. I mentioned at the beginning that I was going to explain this shirt thing to the patrons. If you were a $20 patron or a warden level patron on or before the month of January, do not buy one of these shirts. You've already earned one. You were supposed to already receive it, but I messed up on how to do the shipping stuff because I'm a dummy. Unless you just want a second one, you are going to be having one sent to you as soon as Shopify stops with the updating and all that. So again, unless you just want two, if you were a $20 patron January or before, don't buy one of these. All the $20 patrons from February on are already working their way towards ordering the next shirt. But again, January before, don't buy. Cool. Once again, thank you all for watching. Thank you so much to all of my subscribers. You all mean the most. A massive thank you to all my patrons, and a huge, huge thank you to my top tier patrons. Thank you, Kayla. Thank you, Pef. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Publius. Thank you, Saucy. Thank you, Neoclassical Succubus. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Marcy. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Cody. Thank you, Cum Ranger. Thank you, Xavier. Thank you, Alvaro. Thank you, Damn Man. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Florum. Thank you, Firestar. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Dread Zeppelin. Thank you, Gus Norco. Thank you, Goose Coom. Thank you, Your Boy, The Real Cody. Thank you, J-Bops. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Jakey. And thank you, Bryson. You all really do mean the most. And as always, I know I say this, but you don't know how much I mean it. I couldn't do it without you guys. I'm going to, like, lie down now that I don't have to talk about this anymore. The next Iceberg video will be up soon-ish, probably. I'm also probably going to do a video about To Catch a Predator soon because I need something to alleviate me from all this. So I'm going to go clear my browser history, as you probably should after watching this. But sincerely, thank you all for watching, and I will see you in the next one. Bye!